Well, I will be talking to them. Be rest assured. So be rest assured as a word. Amen. And I want to celebrate everyone, especially if you tuned in and you just joined this broadcast. Please, if you can do us a favor, you see in the comment section on the live feed, just say, I am here for the first time, or just say hello. And honestly, we are good to see you. Thank you, Adenike. Good to see you. I think there was somebody else there again. Thank you for joining us. We are really, really glad to see you. And I want you to be rest assured that God, by His Spirit, will speak to us uniquely, individually, and I trust that the word will be fresh. This word will be fresh, and the word will renew you, will refresh you, will restore. And listen, there are two things that usually happen to when the word of the Lord comes. It's either people repent or people get angry. So please don't get angry. The word is to heal and set us free from anything that will destroy us. So just join me right now to pray. I wish my wonderful prophet Ara can just come and lay hands on me right now and declare those blessings. Good to see you as usual, lovely, wonderful children. And can I say this, please? We're looking for more content, more children content. If you have anything, share with us. We will bring you up live. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, the psalmist David said, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. And Lord, just meditating on that this morning, the psalmist asked for a creation. He didn't ask for his old heart to be recycled or renewed or restored. He said, create, create. Right now, I trust you as I release myself to you. Create in me first a clean, a new heart. Pour your spirit upon me afresh. Speak to me. My ears, my heart, my ears of understanding are open because I recognize there is a spirit in me. It is your inspiration that gives understanding. And Lord, let your word be simple. As I hear, I simply communicate, and your word will go forth and heal and deliver and create in someone today a clean, new heart where, Lord, your tablets, your word will be written, and your word, like an anchor that brings a ship in the turbulence of the sea, of the storm that brings the sheep to rest. Let your word anchor somebody's soul today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know what? Let me start with this. It's exactly 1 year. I just realized, and you know, Facebook reminded me this morning. It's exactly 1 year that we started the lockdown services, broadcasting live from, you know, what we call the Love Assembly Isolation Center. This time last year, March, it's already a year. Our very first live Sunday service was this time last year. And it's so interesting the way the year has gone so fast. And let me tell you this, we have labored to enter into the rest which we are now. You know, I was looking back at the quality of the video, I was looking back at how, you know, we had to quickly learn the ropes in my house, how everybody in my house literally turned into a technical media video guru. You know, that was my own first time. I had never, you know, tried to do a broadcast, Facebook Live, connect the wires, the mics, the instruments. But I look back today, we labored, we've been laboring, and the quality of what you see today that has brought us to some certain kind of rest is because we labored to enter into this rest. But the labor is actually as a result, you know, what gave us rest now is as a result of the information, the knowledge, the understanding and the wisdom of how to do the broadcast. We were getting more and more informed. We learned how to use Facebook Live. From Facebook Live, we moved to using Zoom. From Zoom, we now learned to use the StreamYard, you know, all sorts of things, Canva and all that. Special shout out to, I just want to recognize specially, she's always behind the scene, not seen, but felt. Shout out to Mama G. If I call you Mrs. Sarah Mama G now, somebody's going to put in the chat again and ask a question. Why are you calling her Mrs. Sarah Mama G? Is she married? Is she single? Okay, you know what? When you see her, you ask her that question. But shout out to you, Sarah. Thank you very much. God bless you for all the great labor, hard work you've put in. And I also want to thank everyone behind the scenes. I call them the kings and the priests. They know themselves, laboring, praying, doing all the hidden work to actually help us to get to this place of rest. Listen, somebody may be asking, when are we going to start gathering physically? Let me tell you, very, very soon. We are waiting. Like God brought that ark that he told Noah to go inside, and God, the flood was sent, and there was, you know, pandemic, kind of, in the time of Noah. And God brought the ark to rest upon a mount called Ararat. And Noah had to wait in that ark until God spoke, okay, come out of the ark. And they went into the new earth because the old earth was completely destroyed. Let me say this, and I'm giving you a prophetic word. You are coming out into a new earth, a new beginning. And as a church, the love assembly we used to know can never be the same again. We are all transformed. We are all renewed over this course of this year. Thank God in his own supernatural way, he's been adding even to the church online, such as should be saved. And thank you, those who have been writing to us, contacting us, and even those who asked recently that, look, we got saved online. We want to come into the physical building and we want to get baptized. We will give you that information. You stay tuned, but stay in that ark. The ark has rested on Mount Ararat. We are waiting for that instruction that says, Noah, now come out of the ark. And you know what Noah did? Genesis 8, the Bible tells us the first thing he did was to build an altar to God. And he laid on that altar clean animals, clean birds, and offered the burnt offering. Amen. So that is just like an intro. Rest in God has been our theme throughout this month of March. We are entering April, and the word God has given us ahead of time, create in me a new heart. You stay tuned. April is going to be awesome. Join us this Thursday, 1st of April. We're going to break bread. We're going to take communion. We're going to hear what God is saying to us, what he has said ahead of time and is bringing to us in a new way. All right? So rest in God throughout March. And last week we talked about how to enter and remain in God's rest. That was last week. So this week, what are we talking about? The title, give this a topic, be rest assured. Be rest assured. Amen. And of course, Matthew chapter 11 from verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Son, except the Father, right? Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then verse 28 of that same Matthew chapter 11 now declares, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what he now said further? Verse 29, Matthew 11, take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Amazing. You see, when the Lord Jesus speaks his word, is the word of the Father. He says, I don't say anything except what I hear my Father. What I hear from my Father. I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. So you can be rest assured that those are the words of the Father. Because we have been learning through this series that actually Jesus is telling us to come to him so that he can reveal himself to us. We get to know him, we get to be with him, and then he can reveal the Father, God, as our Father. That is awesome. You see, some of us grew up with earthly fathers that were not really role model fathers to us. Some grew with absent fathers. They were there like they were not there. Some of us grew up with no fathers at all. So we are shaped by that, you know, impression. Unfortunately, to think that is the way God as a father also will be. I've come to give you a refreshing word today. God is a father who loves you unconditionally. God is a father who understands your frailty, your weaknesses. God is the God who's not there to judge you, to condemn you, to give you some low self-esteem, to chastise, to rebuke, to just speak to you harshly, you know, to get a stick and whack your head when you miss it. No, the Bible says the way a mom, right? A mother, an eagle, pities his children. God also shows us that kind of compassion. He understands, and because he understands, he comes down to our level to take us up to his level. So be rest assured. So we try to define rest. So let me go back and tell us what rest actually means. And we gave us the picture of that Genesis 8 and verse 4. After the flood, when that ark rested on the seventh month, Genesis 8 verse 4, on the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. So we got to see rest, right? I have a slide. On that slide, it tells us some simple definitions of rest. Rest is to set down, to lay quiet, to settle down and remain, to be placed at ease, peace, and quietness. So picture that. That ark, the flood that destroyed the whole earth, the same flood guided that earth, that ark, on top of a mountain called Ararat. We see that in that Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. So that ark was set down. It lay quiet. It settled down and remained on that Mount Ararat. It was placed there. The ark went at ease, peace, and quietness. When you look at that scripture, it says, the ark rested. The ark rested. So we got to define rest using that picture, the metaphor, to also understand where the ark rested. It was on Ararat. We learned that Ararat means the curse reversed. The curse reversed. So strategically, the same flood that destroyed the old earth took the same ark, placed it on a place where the curse was reversed. So to rest in God means to settle down and remain, to be placed at ease, in peace and quietness, and every curse reversed. So when you come to God, when you find the rest that God gives, the kind of rest that God gives is not, listen, the absence of storms outside. No, because the waters were still covering that earth and still doing some little destruction, you know, not little, massive destruction, while that ark rested on that mountain. So God makes you to settle down and remain, to be at place that ease and peace, quietness, and no curse, no ill luck can affect you anymore. That peace, that rest God gives is not the absence of storm. No, it is, though in the midst of the storms of life, God can still give you rest. You still find rest, peace, quietness, and every curse over your life is reversed. So that's what we define as rest, to rest in God. Now, today, like I said, we're talking about to be rest assured. And come with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. Now, before I bring the three verses I want us to focus on, I want us to give us a background to this scripture. This scripture is when Moses and the children of Israel were delivered from captivity. They were 430 years in Egyptian slavery, captivity. And God delivered them by a mighty hand. You know the story. If you go read Genesis and then you get to Exodus, you will understand, because Exodus literally means, you know, to go out, to fly, you know, flight, to escape, literally, to move out, you know. So the book of Exodus shows us how God delivered the Israelites from the Egyptian captivity. And now they were now out of that Egyptian captivity. So they were journeying through the wilderness. And a lot of things started happening, you know, while in that wilderness. And, you know, the Bible tells us during the day there was a cloud in the sky. When that cloud moved, they moved. When that cloud settled, they settled. At night, there was a pillar of fire. When that pillar of fire moved, they moved. When that pillar of fire stopped, they stopped. So God was guiding them. And then they got to this particular place. And then it was now time for them to move. So God told Moses, because Moses was the leader now, and said to him, when you look at that verse, from verse 1 of that scripture, okay, right? Moses, now it's time to move. Depart. You go up from here, you and the people that I brought out from the land of Egypt. That's what God was telling him. And, you know, God was reminding Moses of also the promises and saying, you know what, I told you to leave Egypt because I'm taking you to a promised land, a land I have promised to your forefathers. So, and of course, there were lots of challenges, because I want us to know, when God gives you a promise, it is not challenge free. Listen. When God gives you a promise, it doesn't mean you won't face challenges. Not at all. It's not like, yeah, you're going to have this and then bang, it's free, you're going to have it. For example, God says you have a baby. Do you know what a woman goes through to have a baby? Do you know the morning sickness? Do you know the all manner of vomiting, all manner of, you know? Anyway, don't let's go there. That's a promise, but it comes with challenges. The beauty of it is, like, even Jesus, the Bible tells us, you know, he came to deliver us from our sins. It wasn't that easy. He was lied upon. He was envied. He was tried unjustly. He was nailed to the cross, crucified, and he died. The Bible tells us, when you read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and, you know, and the rest of them, there was a joy set before Jesus. And it wasn't like he was just going to grab that joy. No, he had to endure the cross, despise the shame. So promises come, but please don't always think it's problem-free, challenge. There will be things that will challenge you. So the promised land they were going, and God was telling them, look, you're going to confront the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and all those who don't pay their tithe. Just joking. You know, all these guys were tithe, man. They cannot tithe. Let's have fun today. I just feel rest, you know, I feel rested. Maybe I even rested too much over the weekend, but thank God. You know, I've just learned to enter God's rest. And that's what I want to share with us, you know, to be rest assured. So God was saying, okay, let's move now. So when you now go down, so you get the picture now. So now let's go to Exodus chapter 33, verse 12 to 14. The Bible says, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you said to me, bring up these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also, and you've also found grace in my sight. And then, you know, let's read on. Now, therefore, this is Moses, and I want us to be careful with this prayer, this conversation Moses was having with God. So verse 13, now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, please note this very key. What did Moses say? Show me now your way that I may know you, that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. I want us to look at Moses' prayer again. Okay, let me just paraphrase what Moses was saying. Okay, Lord, you say I should go with these people, but you've not told me who's going to go with me. Who are you going to send with me? Even though you've promised me, I found grace in your sight, you know my name, you know. So I am praying right now. If indeed I found grace in your sight, this is conversation. Please note this conversation. Moses, the Bible said, God spoke to him face to face. It's awesome when you can really have a conversation, real conversation with God. Okay, so Moses said, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way. Hey, wait a minute. The first thing Moses was saying in verse 12 is, hey, you've not told me who's going with me. And then we see Moses now saying in verse 13, if I found grace, show me your way. Who's going with me? But God, show me your way. Consider that this nation, you know, because these people, they are yours, so to speak. So now, when you go to, I think somewhere in the book of Psalms, I don't know exactly where it is, you will see where the Bible records. You know, if the technical people can find it for us, I will quote it. If you can find it, good. The Bible said that the people, they only saw the acts of God, but Moses knew God's ways. What's the difference? Okay, I think it's Psalm 103 and verse 7. Psalm 103 and verse 7. The Bible tells us that God, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. So Moses knew the ways of God. In other words, how God operates. He had an understanding. He had the behind the scenes of the actions of God. But the children of Israel, at that time, if you look at the context, there were those in the wilderness with him. They only saw those acts. For example, you see me broadcasting live to you. You're watching in the comfort of your house. You're drinking coffee. You're eating cake. You are having fun. I'm here sweating, laboring under the anointing. Just joking. You know, you hear me, you see me. But there are so many things going on behind the scene. Behind the screen you are seeing here, behind the computer, you know, there are the Mama G's, there are the Dada A's, there are the Daddy A-Y's, Prof JoJo's, and all of them. They're all there, behind the scene. You are seeing, you know, the screen, you are seeing scriptures come up, you're seeing comments come up on the screen. Things are happening behind the scene. Do you understand the way this broadcast is coming to you? or you are just sitting down enjoying the broadcast. So it's like that. Some people are just seeing this broadcast. So they are seeing the acts, but they don't know the ways, how these actions are. But this is where we're going. How did God make known to Moses? Exodus 33, because we're going somewhere today, be rest assured, we're going somewhere, tells us that Moses actually asked God to show him his ways. Isn't that awesome? Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Excuse me. You know, I feel like removing my glasses. He said, it is he that asks that will receive. It is he that seeks that will find. It is he that knocks that will open unto him. Can you imagine? So it is what you're asking for, what you're seeking for, what you're knocking that comes to you. God is not an unjust God. It's a principle. So if you and I are smart today and we want to rest and be rest assured, we should always pray, God, show me your ways. Don't just always ask for handouts. Ask for heart. Out. The heart of God. The mind of God. To know the face of God. That when you know God's countenance, you know the heart of God. You know the mind of God. So these things are not rocket science. So I have made up my mind. I don't want to just see God's acts. I want to understand you. Do you know what God spoke through Jeremiah the prophet? He said, no, don't let that man who is wise boast in his wisdom. Don't let the one who thinks he's strong, he has 6-pack, 10-pack, boast that he has all those things. No. He said, if you want to boast, let this be your boast, that you know me, you understand me. Oh, the sons of Issachar, they had understanding of the times and the seasons. They knew what Israel was to do. Proverbs 16, verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life to him that have it. Proverbs chapter 4, ask, seek for wisdom, get understanding also with all your getting, get for wisdom. You know, but in all you're getting, get understanding also. Be rest assured. So these are the things that brings rest. Because Jesus said it is when we learn of him, learn from him, that we will find rest. When we come, we receive the rest because we ask for it. But when we learn from him, we understand him, we know him, his ways, he reveals the Father, that's when rest comes. There's a scripture, I think it's Proverbs chapter 24. I'm just flowing by the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That a house is built through wisdom. But the house is established through understanding. Do you know what that means? Understanding to establish something means to found it on something. It's like the foundation. So a house that is built with wisdom has wisdom, understanding as its foundation. So if a foundation is not solid, if it's not strong, whatever you build on it, it's a matter of time it will collapse. You can use all the wisdom in this world to design it, but if it's not on a solid foundation of understanding, it will collapse. And it says, through knowledge shall all the rooms be filled. Knowledge will give you, know what to decorate the house with. Wisdom can give you the best architectural plan. But without a proper foundation of understanding, it will collapse. All right, so let me now share some nuggets. In that Exodus 33, verse 12 to 14, let's go and read it straight. So we go to the slide. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know who you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, verse 13, I pray you have found grace. If I have found grace in your sight, show me your way. That I may know you, look at that, and I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. Look at God's answer. Verse 14, he said, my presence will go with you. Ho, 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 and I will give you rest. What did Moses pray for? Who's going to go with me? But then, God, please show me your way. Moses knew the ways of God, but the people only knew the acts. Do you know the danger? All those people who saw the acts of God in that wilderness, journeying to the promised land, none of them entered the promised land. So it's not enough to know and see and experience miracles, God's actions, because that's what dangerously we pray for. God, give me a miracle. God, do you understand God? Did you know his ways? That's what will keep you and get you to that land of rest, the promised land. Amen. All right, let me share some nuggets quickly. So I just want to share some nuggets. Remember, today we're talking about be rest assured. All right, let me just roll out the nuggets. Nuggets. This is what we've been learning all through. God's rest is available for anyone and everyone tired, weary, overburdened. So God's rest is available for everyone, anyone and everyone, okay, who is tired. Please, that's a typo in case you are, you know, cutting and pasting. So that should read, God's rest is available for anyone and everyone who is tired, weary, and overburdened. God's rest is an invite. An invite to rest is for us to accept or reject. So you can take it or leave it. It's willing. It's by choice, not by force. So we learned that. So the rest is available. Okay. Now there's two more nuggets, which I'm sharing them in twos. Rest is not a place. You don't find rest in a place. Rest is not in a place. Rest is in a person, Jesus. See that Matthew chapter 11, which is our foundational scripture. Rest is not in a place. Rest is in a person. You come to a person, not go to a place to get rest that God gives. I repeat that. You come to a person, not go to a place. You don't go to a place, you come to a person to get that rest that God gives. All right, let's share more nuggets. More nuggets about being rest assured. You receive rest when you come to Jesus. You don't get that rest any other place. You come to Jesus. What does that Exodus chapter 33 tell us? My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. It is when you are with God in his presence that you receive rest. So you receive it because you ask for it. You find it when you yoke with Jesus and learn from Jesus. You find rest when you yoke with Jesus and learn from Jesus. Remember, we said there's a difference between receiving rest and finding rest. You will receive that rest when you ask, you come to Jesus, you ask for rest. You will find the rest when you learn from Jesus. Okay, let's go on. More nuggets. Be rest assured. The presence of God with us, wherever we are or go, is what enables us to access rest. The presence of God with us, wherever we are or go, is what enables us to access rest. All right, let's now start looking at the negative side. Unbelief will completely deny us of God's rest. Unbelief. You don't believe in God's existence. You don't believe God. You don't believe the word of God. You don't believe Jesus. Completely forget it. You will not have rest at all. The Bible says those people we saw in that wilderness, they couldn't enter that promised land, the place of rest with God's presence, because of unbelief. So let's go on. More negatives. Another negative is disobedience will deny us of entering into the rest that God gives. We learn that disobedience and partial obedience is disobedience. So any form of, if God says stop, please stop. Maybe you are ironing again today. You heard it last week. Stop what you are doing. Sit down. Listen to the word so that the word you hear can mix with faith in you and you do them. Don't be a mother. be a Mary. Sit down, stop everything, and listen to the word of God. Disobedience will deny us of entering into that rest that God gives. Jesus said, get all those men, 5,000 of them, to sit down when they were panicking, when there was no food. And the Bible said the disciples, when Jesus multiplied the bread, they gave to the men who were set down. Those that is profound. It is clear in the Bible, it was those men who sat down that were experienced that miracle, that were given those 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Go read that scripture. Because it's not written there, but there was a possibility. You know, when there's a problem, we men want to run around and get solution. And then, you know, all right, let's just go to the city and go and look for bread. So some of them probably have taken off. They didn't sit down. When Jesus gave the instruction, get the men to sit down. Let them sit, rest, stop what you're doing. Okay? We remain in God's rest when we continue to receive, learn, and do whatever God says. That's key. We remain. You know, we talked last week about entering and remaining. The previous prior week, we talked about how to enter. But last week is how to enter and remain. So we remain in God's rest when we continue to receive. So it's a continuous receiving. And that means you continue to ask. I'll show us some things quickly. You continue to learn and you continue to do whatever God says. All right, let's move on quickly. Okay, so I want to go back to when we started and show us some things we need to continue to do to be rest assured. Number one, you have to come and keep coming. Don't come once. It's not a one-off. Oh yeah, I've given my heart to Jesus. I've come to Jesus and that's it. I don't do it again. You know, let me share a quick, you know, funny thing that happened in 2005. Many years ago, you know, our two sons, you know, they had lived in this country. One of them was born here. The other one came when he was barely 2 years old. And this was now their first visit. In 2005, our first son was, how old was our first son in 2005? Six years old. And our second son was just 2 years old. So they were going and visiting Nigeria for the first time. Now, according to the Nigerian culture, where we come from, the part of Nigeria, when you want to greet an elder, you prostrate. What it means is you lie, you bow, I think there's an English word, but we call it prostrate. You lie, you literally lie prostrate to greet an elder. So we were teaching our sons, we did all sorts of dress rehearsals before we took off from the house prior to the trip. I kept telling them, when you see an elder, when you enter Nigeria, immediately you come out of the plane, you say, an elder, please prostrate. We call it dobale, okay? Let me just teach you a Yoruba word today. Wherever you're watching from, whatever tongue you speak, you've just learned the Yoruba language. It's the language they speak in heaven, okay? Just joking, right? You dobale, dobale. So we rehearsed. So I said, what would you do, boys, when you see elders? They said the dobale, then they will lie prostrate. We rehearse. When we were in the plane, touching down Lagos, Nigeria, I said, what do you do, you boys? What will you do when you see elders? They said the dobale. Beautiful, lovely boys. I came out of the plane, entered. The first uncle that came to welcome them, I said, boys, what do you do? They said, the dobale. So they dobaled. They prostrated. We got home. All the elders they saw, the dobaled. We saw my parents, their grandparents. When I said, what do you do, boys? The dobaled. The dobaled for everybody. So the following day, my dad, old man with his gray hair, now came, you know, was so excited to see his grandsons, came into the room and I saw my son trying to stretch out their hands to shake the old man. I said, boys, no. What did I say you do? They said, yeah, we dobale. And then the older one asked, but daddy, we dobaled yesterday. We did it yesterday. So that one of yesterday should have covered every, you know, why do we have to do it again? I said, boys, sons, you do it, you keep doing it. Keep the ballet in. If there's anything like that. So when you come to Jesus, don't just come again and again and again. The ballet for Jesus every time. You keep the ballet in for Jesus. Lying prostrate, bowing, coming to him. All right? So you have to come and keep coming. Every time, anytime you are tired, weary, overburdened, always come. Let's run. Number two, you come to Jesus and remain. Always come to remain. Don't leave. If you remain, Jesus said, John 15, verse 7, and abide in me and follow my teachings, my words, abide, remain in you. You can ask anything you want and it will be given to, be done for, come to you. Because Jesus is the one who continuously removes burdens from our lives and destroys yokes. So we keep coming anytime we are tired. Don't be tired coming. Keep coming, keep coming, keep coming, keep asking, keep receiving, keep seeking, keep finding. It's not a one-off. You come, you remain, you abide, you follow, you continue in my word. That's the way the King James Version puts it. If you continue in my word and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done. So come to Jesus and remain. That's number two. Number three, you come to receive rest. But you know what? Ask for it. He gives it. You receive. But don't stop. You keep asking. You keep receiving his rest. You keep asking. You keep receiving his rest. You keep asking. You keep receiving. So it's continuous. So it's not one-off. Be rest assured. Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. When you look at the context in which Jesus was speaking, keep asking. Keep receiving. Keep knocking. That's what it meant. Not you don't do once. You keep. Come, keep coming back. Keep coming back. The asking of yesterday is not enough for today. The Bible says you ask and you receive. You don't receive because you ask amiss. In another place, it says you ask because you want to consume it on your loss. No. So asking, keep asking for rest. Keep receiving rest. Keep learning about Jesus. So you come to find rest, number four. Keep seeking, because it's what you seek that he will reveal and you will find. You seek, he reveals, you find. You seek, he reveals, you find. He keeps, Jesus reveals, you find. So you keep seeking, you keep finding. As he teaches and as you're learning, he says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. So it's not a one-off. You can't know all about God in one day. You can't know about Jesus in one day. I'm telling you some revelations I know now. I didn't even know yesterday. I didn't even know last week. Between last week and now, Jesus keeps revealing himself. I've shared it with us. Jehovah, his name, his nature, character, ability means the one who continuously reveals himself. And the more of him we know, the more rest we find for our souls. Number five, enter and remain in God's rest. What does that mean? You enter, you abide, you remain. You enter, you abide, you remain. You enter, you abide, you remain. Don't leave his presence. In verse 14, Exodus 33, that we saw before, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. In other words, abide in his presence all the time. We talked about last week, I showed us the picture of the yoke. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle, lowly in heart. You will find rest to your souls. You see now, Moses said, Lord, show me your way. I want to know more and more and more and more about you. That's how you enter rest. A yoke, a wooden cross, fastened over the necks of two animals. And we gave the picture of what a yoke is. We saw two animals last week. You see the picture again. And I said, this is what Jesus is saying. When you take his yoke, it means, right? This is me, and that is you. I'm going to yoke you to me. I'm going to stick you to me. And when you look at the next picture that shows two animals, just picture yourself and Jesus. That's you and Jesus. What does that mean? Yoke is now when you're yoked with Jesus, you begin to see, because that word yoke with land is eye, it means perception, it means insight. It's what you need for teaching, learning, for your purpose. it continuously. So you begin to see with the eye of Jesus. Imagine when you're yoked with Jesus, Jesus is there. You are in his presence. You remain in his presence. That yoke keeps you in his presence. That's the idea of the yoke. That's the speech Jesus was using there. That with you, my yoke on you, you will constantly be in my presence. And what is that yoke? You begin to learn how I see things. You begin to see from my perception. You begin to receive my insight. You see, that is what it means. So, but I want to close with this. Listen, when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, all right? Do you know he didn't say you won't have any more burdens or any more yokes? Come to me, all you who labor, heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you know he now said, take my yoke upon you? So when we come to him, it's not like it takes every burden off and every yoke, right? He removes whatever yoke we are yoked to, yokes us to himself, comes to our level, but it's not that it's burden-free, yoke-free life. No. He says, when you read verse 30, he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So he didn't promise you wouldn't have any more burdens or yoke. The yoke you had before, he will destroy that yoke by reason of his anointing. He will remove that yoke from off your neck, but he will give you his yoke so that whatever burdens you were carrying before, whatever load you were carrying before, it becomes easier because the partnership between you and him now helps you to carry those heavy burdens and loads in life. Jesus offers to give his yoke to make the burden you bring to him lighter. And as his own yoke is upon you, he now makes that everything easier for you. You see, when you read the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing, please understand, it's not like some fire, bang, burn. No. Anointing means to smear, when you rub oil, you know? So imagine yoke around your neck like that, and then you put oil around it to ease it, and then you can remove the yoke easily. But then he now puts a new yoke upon you. That's what the anointing is like. The anointing of Jesus, the burden removing, yoke removing and destroying power of Jesus comes, puts oil around your neck. I could dramatize this, removes whatever yoke you had before, but then he puts his own yoke around your neck and helps you, whatever yoke you were carrying or burden you were pulling before, with his partnership, they become easy. That become easy. It makes the burden lighter. It makes the yoke easier. You will still bear burdens. You will still bear yokes, but they will only become lighter and easier. Why? Because you've come to Jesus and you keep coming to Jesus. So you know what? Let me close with this. God is not promising us a yoke-free, burden-free life. No. You will still bear some yokes in your youth. You will still bear some yokes in your old age. You will still carry some burdens in your youth. You will still carry some burdens in your old age. But every time it comes, run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Always run to Jesus. He says, casting all your cares upon me because I care for you. Bring the yokes. Bring the burdens. I learned one thing. Anytime it is easy, heavy on me, anytime it's difficult, that means I've not gone to Jesus. I've left his presence. God told Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. In other words, be rest assured every time You come to me with your burdens and your yokes. Be rest assured. Your rest is assured as you take my yoke. My yoke hooks you to me. So you are now hooked to Jesus. And then he guides you, pulls everybody, and makes your path straight. God bless you. Be rest assured. As this March ends and we enter into April, it's a new beginning. God bless you. Let's talk to the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. Can we begin to talk to God? Can you talk to him? Do you know what you need to do now? You're understanding the ways of God. What you need to do, bring those yokes, bring that burden right now. I want to give us a few minutes just to talk to God. Just a few minutes. Because what you've understood today are the ways of God. We're always quick to want to pray. Father, destroy this yoke. Father, remove this yoke. Father, the burden is too heavy. No, it's taught you a principle. Listen, prayers don't replace principles. You do the principles, and then you will pray aright, and it will be easier. Keep coming. Keep receiving. Keep asking. Keep searching. Keep learning, and the rest will be assured in the name of Jesus. Let's talk to him right now, and just give us a minute to talk to him. What yoke are you bearing? What's so difficult in your life right now? It's difficult because you've not come to Jesus. You've assumed. No, you came yesterday. You need to come today. You came last week. Yes, you need to come this week. You need to come now. He says, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. So every morning, you bring every yoke and every burden. Talk to him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I agree with everyone. As we bring our yokes, as we bring every burden, I lay it. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for removing yokes and putting on us your yoke by reason of your anointing. Oh, I tell you in the name of Jesus, that burden becomes light. That yoke you are carrying becomes easy. Easy. Be rest assured. The name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.